Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 8th episode of the HRVC Cast, hosted by yours truly, Daniel Song at TheSongVC on Twitter. This week's special guest is Tuk Vu from OmniLabs. Graduated from Carnegie Mellon with a bachelor's and Stanford with a PhD both in computer science, Tuk is an expert in artificial intelligence and algorithms. He previously founded Contego and Tappy, which were quickly acquired by Google and Weebly. He also invests in early-stage startups and helps grow the ecosystem in Vietnam. His ambition is to bring robots into every home to create a positive impact in people's lives. So please join me in welcoming Tuk Vu from OmniLabs. Hey, Tuk. Thank you for joining me today. How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing? Good to talk to you as well.
So let's get started by telling our audience a little bit about yourself and how you became interested in the world of robotics and came to found OmniLabs.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Tuk, and I'm the CEO and co-founder of OmniLabs. We started out in 2015 in July, and the idea was to make robots that can improve the quality of life for people, especially, you know, in the home environment where robotics have been like a promise for a while. But if you really think about it, the capabilities are still very limited. And we started together with Jared Goh and Tingxi Tan, my co-founders. Mm-hmm. My background is I did my undergrad at Carnegie Mellon in computer science, PhD at Stanford, also computer science, focusing on AI and machine learning and game theory.
Gotcha. And then before OmniLabs, you have founded other companies before, right? Could you tell us more about that as well?
Yeah, definitely. So OmniLabs is my third company. Before that, I started two companies. One was Contego. It was in the social space. We founded Contego in June 2010. It was invested by Glenna Perkins, and then later it was acquired by Google towards the end of 2011. After that, I stayed at Google for awesome. 3 years working on Google Plus and then Android.
Great. And as a serial entrepreneur, you took robotics as your next project with OmniLabs. So what are the current challenges that you're seeing in this field of robotics? And what's your approach on solving these problems through your products at OmniLabs?
Yeah, so a little bit about our journey. So we've been around for almost 3 years. So far, we have developed 10 generations of robots. We are selling the robots in the market, deployed worldwide. Maybe we close to 300 robots in the field now. But the whole process was painful. it was hard. You know, people say hardware is hard, and we didn't believe them until we actually tried. And, one of the most frustrating, aspect was that, a lot of things are not available, right? The projects are pretty silo. People don't share, their work with each other. And so we had to develop a lot of these technology in-house from the ground up. You know, we wish it wasn't that way. But a couple of things that we did to overcome these challenges. One was we had a really interesting way of manufacturing the robots using 3D printing. And so we can print out the parts and then assemble them all in-house. This allowed us to operate almost like a software company. We can just, you know, crank out new models and, you know, making changes and, allow us to not afraid of putting our products out there as well into the field and get feedback from user and, you know, make very quick, modification to address those, feedback.
Right. And, you know, along with robotics, we hear the term AI associated with robotics all the time. So is robotics part of AI, or is AI part of robotics? Or like, what is the difference between the two terms, in your opinion?
that's a great question. It's kind of like, you know, I think of it as more kind of like you know, when you think about human, right, it's like body and the soul, are they separated? Are they the same, right? And so, you know, in some sense, it's kind of like that. And so I don't think it's necessarily, you know, can disentangle, untangle between the two, but I feel like, you know, robotics enable AI to go to places, right? If you think about it, right, you know, a lot of AI products, they stuck either, you know, in the cloud or, you know, on some, devices, mobile device, right? But to really make an impact in the world of robotics that would allow, the AI, components to do that. You know, the robots are the one who gonna manipulate the objects, you know, making changes, making, you know, things happening in the physical world. But then without AI, robotics wouldn't be able to, perform intelligent, actions either, right? It's gonna be very repetitive. And so the impacts are going to be very limited, right? And so in some sense, you know, those two has the best synergy to create value, to improve, you know, the our current, you know, quality of life.
Gotcha, gotcha. And would you say that OmniLabs is currently working on both kind of software side for the AI and, you know, hardware for the robotics? Or
yes, absolutely.
Is that kind of right way to put it? Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. So we're working on both. We have to push, on both ends, right? Not just the hardware, mechanical, electrical part, but also the AI, you know, to facilitate, the interaction with the user. You know, to make it easier to use, make it smarter, make it safer, things like that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And, let's go deeper into your product Omni and how maybe you can kind of briefly tell us about Omni and also how it adds value, to the end user.
Yeah. So we following a couple of different use cases with Omni. One of the use cases that we see the most traction is senior care. The robot can be put in the home of the seniors who live by themselves, so that family members or caregivers can dial in remotely and spend time with the seniors, make sure that they're safe, no accident happen, remind them to take medicine, check in, make sure they follow their diet, spend time with them, make them happier. Loneliness is a huge issue with the seniors in developed countries. Some recent studies show that loneliness actually increased the risk of early death by 50%. With our product, we enable, family members or caregivers, to really, easily and quickly, dive in and spend time with the seniors, to remove that physical distance, allow the senior to have, you know, companionship, right? To improve their well-being, both mentally, emotionally, but also physically. So that's one of the use cases that we're very, very excited about. The second use case is education. The robot allows students to dive in remotely, drive around and attend classes. They can have like breakout session, you know, interact with their friend, just like they're attending class in person. And the third angle is business. You know, expert consultants can dive into the robot and spend time to, you know, troubleshoot or, you know, check in to make sure that, you know, the certain problem when it happened instead of like driving over. So these are the thing that we're focusing on. By the way, I don't think we mentioned about the robot yet. So just for the audience, our first product is, what we call a telepresent robot. You can think of it as like, a touchpad, on a Segway, right? Like a tablet on a Segway that allow you to dial in remotely over the internet, and you can drive the robot around and you can have two-way video and audio, conversation with people local, on site with the robot.
Right. And maybe could you go into more detail about what are the current capabilities and also what we can expect in your future in terms of additional capabilities?
Yeah. So with the robots, basically, you know, you can use any computer, tablet, smartphone to dial in and control the robot. And there are assisted driving now, in which the robot will use computer vision to, let's say, for example, identify the charging dock, so that when you press a button, it can find its way back to the charging station. And then we are working on a couple of really exciting features. For example, the arms that allow the robot to pick up objects, turning off, you know, the light, the water or the stove, and, you know, make it a safer environment for the senior. Those are the things that we're adding on. And other stuff, you know, more fun, like projectors that allow you to share video and audio, maybe some games that allow you to play, you know, with your family. I think there are a lot of different ideas that, you know, we will be pushing on that will make our product is a very comprehensive. Yeah.
Right. And to, you know, develop your product, and not only from the OmniLabs team, also now through your latest project, Cambria, which is a decentralized open AI and robotics platform, you're now what to kind of create this ecosystem where others can contribute to the development of robotics and lower the barriers, which, you know, a lot of people think that robotics, you need to have the PhD and study for many, many years, kind of allowing that everyone to kind of contribute. Yeah. So let's talk more about Cambria. So why do you think that putting this, you know, decentralized open AI platform on blockchain and token economics makes sense?
Yeah. So, throughout our process, right? You know, as I mentioned, you know, we learned that robotics development is very painful. It's slow, expensive, and also very challenging. And there's not much, existing work out there that's getting open and shared with the community, especially on the hardware side, so that we can, quickly develop on top of existing work. So we had to do a lot of reinventing the wheel. And so that's where the idea came together for Cambria. So you can think of Cambria as an open platform like Android and Linux, but it will include from hardware, firmware to software AI, basically everything that allow people to build and run the robot very quickly. So that's where we got the inspiration from. However, right, to develop an open source platform like Android or Linux, it would take a long time, or a lot of investment, right, capital. And so, you know, for us as a startup, we don't have that luxury, you know, like Android getting supported by Google. that's where the crypto economics fill in that missing piece. So the crypto economics allow us to bootstrap this platform very quickly and align all the incentives of the key stakeholders so that they can continue to contribute and help grow the ecosystem around the platform. So a couple of example of how the crypto economics make a lot of sense. So one example is the tokens can be used to acquire technology that get locked away in patents in garage or, you know, research labs that, you know, people don't know what to do with it, right? And it can be used to compensate for developers who contribute code design to the platform. And then we kind of like break down the process, the innovation from the concept to product, manufacturing to commercializing, to deploying and servicing. And now everyone can tackle, one of those, pieces. Following whatever they, they're most capable of. And, the token economy is going to tie in like all the contribution together to make sure that, we will distribute, the upside, of all this work to, you know, fairly between the contributors.
Right. And could you kind of give us an example of an actual project and how that process would look like from kind of putting up the project as a bounty and how the Cambria platform can contribute to make sure that project gets successfully gets realization to realization?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a couple of, you know, different ways that we are pursuing. So one is, you know, we wanted to be market driven, you know, based on the demand, right? And so, you know, we will allow, you know, big companies or startups to put out, you know, proposal or projects and stake the token behind it as the reward, for developers. So, you know, imagine a company, like a burger chain, right? They would love to have a robot that can flip burger. And, but, you know, if they invest, even if they invest a lot of money into this, right, they're probably not going to be able to make that robot just because it's not in their DNA. And so, but what they can do, they can put out a prize, just like the DARPA Grand Challenge. Okay, and then all the people, all the token holders, when they see the project, if, you know, if they think it's really cool, if it makes sense to them, now they can also join on board and back the same project, you know, putting the tokens. And so now all of a sudden we're going to have a very sizable prize pool for, you know, it's a certain application or use case on Cambria. And then developers around the world now can collaborate and compete against each other to develop technology that can satisfy the criteria for these projects, right? And the best technology will win the prize. And it will get, the technology will then get incorporated onto the platform and open for everyone so that they can do R&D on top of it. If you want to commercialize or use the technology for enterprise purposes, you can too, but you have to pay a licensing fee back to the platform in the form of tokens. And then these tokens are going to get shared between all the contributors of the technology. So that's a flow that how we imagine things are going to happen. But we also have some really, really exciting direction we're following. Basically, we want to organize hackathons with social impact missions. You know, for example, cleaning the street of a city, senior care, picking out recycling materials. You know, these are the things that, you know, will have an impact for the society. And we want to run hackathons around the world with these social impact missions and then allow people to contribute and, you know, pick out the best project and reward the developers, but also commercialize, you know, these ideas in different cities.
Right. And, you know, you kept mentioning that the robotics, you know, development is hard. Do you really, and I think, you truly believe that the Cambria platform can make it easier for any passionate robotics. It doesn't have to be a PhD student, but who has passion to learn, can, also contribute to the platform. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So if you think about it, right, like let's say, for example, an analogy is mobile development. So 10 years ago, mobile development is still pretty hard, you know, like, but these days, you know, within 5 minutes, you can spin up something, you know, you get a Hello World app and, you know, you can do interesting things with it already. And so we want to do the same thing with robotics development. You know, right now, the stage of the robotic development is kind of like mobile development 10, 20 years ago. And so, you know, if it's very challenging because, you have to know pretty much the entire vertical, you know, whole stack of technology, from mechanical engineering to electrical engineering to AI software, server, cloud, right? For us, we want to make a, you know, like a, kind of like a robotic development kit, in which, you know, you can buy it or you can download it and put them together, order it, and then you can now start focusing on the R&D aspect that you're most passionate about. Right. So let's say you're a computer vision guy. You can just like, you know, start doing research on vision. You don't need to build the entire robot, you know, in some sense. And right. That's where we, aiming for.
And I want to take a little bit more casual approach. I think on behalf of our listeners, I think they will be very interested to hear your opinion and view on this. So as robotics gets smarter and better, I watch a lot of movies, and there are some movies where robotics kind of take over the world. And at least some of the worries that more of a near future is that robotics will start, you know, replacing jobs and ultimately could, you know, there's some discussion between, I think, Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, AI is bad. You know, how far do we develop this AI? So I'm curious, as a person that is in this industry and being the thought leader, market leader of robotics, what's your view on the future of AI and robotics?
Yeah, so actually, I believe AI and robotics play a crucial role in kind of like the sustainability of humanity. You know, I think robotics would actually allow us to increase our productivity and, you know, address a lot of the challenges that we run into. For example, senior cares, for example, you know, environmental issues, you know, all these things. And, you know, just like, you know, robotics and AI is more or less, you know, kind of like a tool, right? Technology. And whether it's bad or good, it actually depends on how we use it, right? And so, you know, I'm more on the optimistic side. And personally, I think, you know, we're still far from, you know, like the general, AI that, you know, can make its own decision and that can go on and do all the best stuff in the world. You know, it's who gonna, you know, code those AI and develop those robots, right? With certain mission, with certain objectives, you know, then we, you know, those are the people would, kind of set the tone, for whether the AI robotics are good or bad, right? It's not the AI itself, you know, that's what I believe in. And, you know, I'm really excited about what robotics and AI, can bring to the world, you know, really, pushing on improving the quality of life. That's what we at Omnilab in Cambria are most passionate about. And we believe absolutely that robotics can play that role.
Yeah, and I'm also personally very excited about the approach that you guys are taking in the field of robotics. You know, many people think it's rocky science, and obviously there are a lot of technicalities and studies. They're much above the other, you know, level of the studies. But also at the same time, the way you're approaching it with the 3D printing as well as Cambria, where more people, regular people like us, can contribute to the program, I think it really changes the game in terms of, you know, making it more viable and more everyday use cases that can be created through these opportunities. So that leads me to my last question. What to expect from you and Omnilabs this year?
So a lot of exciting things going to come out of both Omnilabs and Cambria, right? So on the Omnilabs side, we continue to push on our core use cases, like I mentioned to you. And we're going to expand to different markets, Australia, South Korea, of course. You know, I think this South Korea is one of our most favorite markets. We visited there twice, and, you know, I love the people. You know, I love the energy of the city. It's an amazing place. And so we're really excited, of, you know, expanding, to Korea and, to building out also not just, you know, market, but also development and partnership in South Korea. And then other places like Singapore, Vietnam, you know, those are the places we have in mind. In terms of Cambria, we're building our own these robotic labs around the world, working with the top universities, in robotics. And, we're gonna run some hackathon, that, you know, we'll see how things go, but, hopefully that will create, you know, like a kind of like a movement or, you know, sort of like robotics, open development collaboration. That's, you know, something that we'll work hard on, and we're very excited.
Awesome. Yeah, we're also very excited to see what's going to come ahead of Omnilabs and Cambria this year. Tuuk, thank you so much for taking the time today. I really enjoyed our chat and good luck with everything this year.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast. And it was fantastic talking to you. So looking forward to more discussion between us.